Welcome to Kidmin Talk, the weekly webcast from Kidology.org, where our mission is to both equip and encourage you as you minister to children. My name is Carl Bastian, and I am glad to be back with you again. I can't tell you how much it encourages me when I get an email via carl@kidmintalk.com or a tweet at kidmintalk letting me know you are listening and enjoying the show and how it's helping you in your ministry. I also enjoy interacting with those of you who join me in the forum discussion each week that is linked at the bottom of the show notes. The running jokes and the conversation, it's a blast. And of course, you like winning prizes and hopefully feel even more a part of the show than you would if you just listened. So let me encourage others to join us as we talk about the topics that are discussed and learned about here on the show. But now, it is time for us to talk Kidmin. Well, we have been going through our Kidmin keywords, and we are getting down to the end of the alphabet. In fact, we are down to the letter U. We're going to wrap it up this month. And before I get into who our winners are for this week's podcast, I have some exciting news. Next month is the month of May, and traditionally, I make the month of May a sabbatical month. Now, I don't actually take a sabbatical, but I slow down. I don't take any speaking engagements. I try to spend more time with my family, kind of in preparation for Yosemite Summit, which is my sabbatical week, where myself and some other children's pastors and men in ministry, we take off for Yosemite National Park and completely unplug from ministry. In fact, unplug literally from anything electronic, email, Twitter, Facebook, cell phones. I mean, there isn't even a cell signal in that park, and just completely reconnect with God and with our relationship with Him. We don't even pray about our ministries. In fact, I ban it. You just pray about your walk with God, your wife, your kids, and we have a great time of fellowship, and Yosemite Summit is full, and I'm looking forward to that. But all that to say, I'm going to be taking a break from Kidmin Talk, but I've invited some guest hosts, and we have got a great lineup of some guest hosts that are going to be coming in here to talk about some topics that they are passionate about. And I'm not even going to tell you who they are because I just want to kind of whet your appetite and get you excited about some exciting guest hosts that will be coming during the month of May. And I also want to tell you about our sponsor today. It's a very exciting sponsor. It's a very simple one. In fact, it's just a couple of dollars, and it's some Bible story trading cards that we sell in Kidology. It's probably one of those hidden treasures down in the site. And you can use these as a prize or something in your church, but really these I think are best used in the home with your kids or to give away for parents. If you have a partnering with parents ministry like the VIP program that I talk about in Leadership Lab number 4, because they don't have the interactive contests like the Great Adventure cards, which are what I use in church as a contest format, but these are great collections of Old Testament and New Testament Bible cards that go through the main Bible stories of the entire Old Testament and the entire New Testament. In fact, I believe there is 100 stories for each of the Old and the New Testament. Let me correct that. 50 stories in Old and New with a total of 100 stories. In fact, I've linked in the show notes some proof of just how effective they are. And it wasn't made for that reason, but I've got a YouTube video of my son Luke when he was just about three and a half years old going through in one of our pit stops. That's what we call our family time. And him just going through card by card and repeating in a very cute little way, in his little boyish way, what each of those Bible stories were about. And it's just a darling little video, especially when we got to the crucifixion. And he said he didn't like that story because he didn't like what they did to Jesus. And it's a precious little video that we had just made as a family video, not to promote the cards. It was just something we did as we wanted to review those cards. And yet I decided just to go ahead and post that video to show people just how effective a family time can be of every night just doing a Bible story and using a tool like this. And so we have made them the sponsor of this podcast just so that you are aware of them and check those out. It may be a tool that you have overlooked that you might want to incorporate either in your ministry or just in your home to just consistently and slowly and steadily work your kids through the top 100 Bible stories of the Bible so that they kind of get that foundation, because you don't want to leave it to the church. even if you're a children's pastor, it's not the children's pastor's job or the church's job to make sure your kids know the basics of the Bible. It is your job as a parent. And it's your parents' job to make sure that they teach their kids the basics of the Bible. And a very simple tool like this can make it so easy. And so I just want to encourage you to check out those Bible story cards that we have available on Kidology, because they are just absolutely a wonderful tool that I have seen the fruit of them being used just in my home in just a few minutes every evening, walking through those 100 stories with my own son, Luke. Well, what is our letter U? Well, man, I got so many great suggestions in the forum and by Twitter and by email. And I just got to say, as I said in the opening, I so enjoy and appreciate those of you who make this webcast a two-way street, because I do not want to just sit here and talk at a microphone. I want this to be a two-way dialogue. And so when you email me and when you stop me at a conference and talk to me and when you send a tweet and you send an email or you talk in the forum, it makes this into a conversation. And I enjoy that so much. And I really liked, as last week I asked people to stop giving me a long list of words that start with the same letter, but really start thinking about what's that one word that you think that letter encapsulates. And boy, it really worked, because it got people thinking, what's that one word that starts with the letter U that really should be the focused word? And all of them were good, because every one of you who attempted to guess came up with a really good word, and all of them would be worthy of a podcast. But I decided to go with the word unexpected. And as I mentioned in my notes, the winner of that was Mrs. Tina, because she is the one that guessed that. But I had to give honorable mention to two others, because Joan used the word unique and Peter Johnson used the word unforgettable. And as you'll see as we unpack this, being unique and being unforgettable all are kind of extrapolations of that doing the unexpected. Because as we go through ministry and as we've been at this a while, it's so easy to get stuck in a rut, and it's so easy for ministry to become mundane. And as year after year goes by, we can find ourselves just doing the same thing that we did before. And it can get boring for us. We can lose our excitement and our energy. And it's so easy to look back. I know in my first few years of ministry, man, I was just always trying new things. And I was full of this youthful energy. And I pulled all-nighters and never had to make up the sleep. Boy, I miss those days. And it was just excitement and energy and creativity. And then you kind of figure out what works and you figure out what flopped, and you kind of set into a rhythm. And there's a healthy part to this, and it's kind of good to know what works and what doesn't. But we can also lose that creativity and that excitement, and we can become predictable. But the danger to that is, as we become predictable and fall into routine, that charisma and that contagious energy that we once had starts to go away. And our volunteers and the leaders under us and our kids and those around us, they can start to get bored too. And I'm not just talking to those in leadership. This works even if you're just a Sunday school teacher, if you're a club leader, at whatever level you are. Doing the unexpected makes you more effective, because it captures people's attention. It makes things more memorable, and it creates an energy in your ministry. And it's all about creating surprise in your ministry. People love surprises, and especially kids love surprises. And as you know, if you're a regular listener, I love acronyms. But it's all about planning surprises. And so I'm going to take a little fun here with the word surprise, and we're just going to look at some things from the word surprise to kind of create a mental anchor for you and talk about how can we do the unexpected in our ministry. And the letter S, I'm just going to call it the word surprise. Asking yourself specific questions helps us in our ministry. And one of those specific questions can be, what could I do that would surprise people? I mean, right off the bat, as parents and children arrived on Sunday or at this next meeting, or at this next event, what would surprise people? And just start brainstorming. I mean, what if on one Sunday, as they came in the back door, the whole entrance was just lined with helium balloons tied to strings on weights, and so there was just an aisle of balloons that they had to walk down. I mean, that would surprise everyone, and they would wonder what's going on. Did I miss an announcement? Is there some big event today that I didn't know about? I mean, it would instantly create an anticipation and an excitement about being there at church, or just sending all the kids home with balloons one Sunday, and just say that just had a tag on that said, "We love you and we're so glad you came today." I mean, we do that for visitors, right? Well, why don't we do that for all of our kids? And just one Sunday, out of the blue, not on a friendship Sunday or a special Sunday, just surprise them all. Or what if one time we just put footprints on the ground, attached to the floor in footsteps leading to different places? People saw those footsteps, and I wanted them to see a bulletin board, actually, that I had redone. And they just saw these footsteps, and they started following the footsteps because they wondered where they went. And I made them weave around and go different places, and eventually they just led to a bulletin board that I wanted them to see. But it was just a surprise. They didn't expect that. Or what if one week you just decided, you know what, we're going to create grab bags for all the kids. You know, I've got a closet full of old props and old prizes and old toys and candy, and I got to get rid of some of this stuff. It's getting near the expiration date. So let's just get a bunch of bags, fill them with stuff, stick some stickers on them, and that Sunday after church, on the back of the room as they go out, everybody gets to grab a grab bag, and they can't open it until they get in the car. You can even put a sticker on it that says, "Do not open until you're in the car." And they get out in the car, and in there's a gospel track and some candy and a note that, "We just love you. We're so glad you came to church." What kind of surprise could you create? Now, I'm giving you a couple ideas, but I'm asking you to brainstorm by yourself or with your spouse, or even include your kids or your leadership team or your Sunday school class team, whatever kind of group you're in, and ask yourself, what could we do that would surprise people? What do they not expect us to do? Let's move on to the next letter, the letter U. And this is where Peter gets his prize from, because Peter Johnson suggested the word unforgettable. And the question quite simply is, what could we do? What could I do this Sunday or this summer or this fall, or at this vacation Bible school that they will never forget? What could I do that would be unforgettable? Because when you create memories for people, you create spiritual anchors. Throughout the Old Testament, we see these unforgettable things that God did. And we also see the Israelites setting up Ebenezers. You know what that is? A pile of rocks. And why would they set up a pile of rocks? Because they wanted, next time someone passed by and saw this pile of rocks, and the kids would see the pile of rocks and say, "Mom and Dad, what is that pile of rocks?" They, "Oh, well, those rocks were piled up because at this very spot years ago, God parted the Jordan River and the people of God were able to walk across." They created memorable markers, and God created memories. Why do you think God parted the Red Sea? Why do you think he did the plagues of Egypt? Why do you think God did these amazing, unforgettable things so that his people would not forget who he is and the spiritual lessons that went along with them? Why do you think Jesus did miracles? Not just because he loved people and wanted to heal them. Why did he turn water into wine? Why did he do some miracles that didn't involve loving a person, you know, wilting a fig tree? He did memorable, unforgettable things so that the spiritual lesson would be remembered. And we need to do the same thing. We need to do things that are unforgettable. I remember one time I just boarded up kids' church with stickers, sent them all into the gym. There was nothing in the gym, and I just told them, "I've hidden some candy in the room. Whoever finds it can come to me and whisper to me where the smiley is hidden, and I'll give them a piece of candy, but they can't point or tell anyone else." And these kids went searching this gym, but there was nowhere to hide anything. There were no chairs. There were no props. It was just a barren, plain gym. But one by one, they would come to me and whisper in my ear if they had found the smiley, and I would give them a candy. Then they ran off becoming false prophets, misleading the other kids. Till finally, one little girl, as she whispered in my ear, she couldn't help pointing up because I had attached to the ceiling a rather giant smiley. I had to use a forklift or a lift, you know, the type they use in church to change the light bulbs at the top of tall gymnasiums and sanctuaries. And then, of course, the kids all pointed and flooded. I had to put the cap on and say, "Game's over." And then I just did a very simple lesson about how people spend their whole lives searching everywhere for happiness, but few look up. But those who look up and discover God find happiness, and how then they need to tell others, and how some of them had misled the others, and that there are people in the world who will mislead you. Well, you know what? It has been years since I did that lesson. That was back in 1999 or 2000, and that smiley is still on the roof of that gymnasium at that church, and every now and then I'll get emails or run into older kids who will tell me that smiley Pastor Carl is still on the roof. And I'll say, do you remember the lesson? Yeah. Happiness is found by looking up. And it was an unforgettable lesson. You know, taking kids outside of the church, having kids over to your home, going on outings. You know, the best prize that you can offer for a big contest isn't buying a bike. It isn't buying scooters. It isn't buying a big jar of candy. It's making you the prize. It's saying the prize is going to be that you will get to go to the closest amusement park, whether it's Great America or Disney World or Cedar Point or whatever, with you and your spouse. So you have four kids win, the top two boys, top two girls get to go on an outing with you. You create a memory. You get to go have a lot of fun too. And you take these four kids or six kids on an outing, and it creates a lifelong memory for those kids. Creating unforgettable memories for kids is amazing. Let's go on to the letter R. Doing something real. How often we talk about things in church. We show pictures of things in our PowerPoint that we stole from Google Images. When you can do something real, it's unexpected. You know, when you're talking about the nativity scene, if you can get a real camel or a real sheep, if you have access to a farm or somewhere and you can bring in a real animal, if you're talking about Jesus being the bread of life and you're talking about bread, if you bring in a bread maker and you start it early enough that it could be running all through Children's Church and they can smell that bread being baked. My friend Tim Balow did this. That's where I'm using the idea from. And that bread gets baked and finished and comes out of the bread maker at the end, and the kids get to actually taste that. You know, when I was teaching several years ago on the golden calf, a lesson the kids have heard many, many times, I said, how can I make this lesson real to the kids? You know, Moses left and he was expected back. He didn't come back, and you know the story. So I arranged so that I would get a phone call about 1/3 of the way into Children's Church. And look, before my call came, my other leaders strategically disappeared from Kids Church. And we hooked up a camera and a monitor in another room. And when I got the call, I said, kids, this is really important. It's the senior pastor. I got to go. Something's come up. But you guys just be good. The kids crew is going to be in charge. Now, granted, these are 5th and 6th graders. I left in charge. I shouldn't be long. I'll be right back. Please just stay in your seats. Sing a couple songs. I'll be back as soon as I can. And I left. And we're watching in this side room as after they sang a couple songs and I didn't return, things began to break apart. Some kids got out of their seats and some kids scolded those kids. And there was kind of a slow disintegration of order in the room. And we're watching all this from our mountaintop in the room next door. And then I had pre-planned with some of my crew kids which were going to revolt and which weren't. And the ones that revolted started saying, you know, Pastor Carl's a terrible pastor. He should have never left us. You know, what kind of a pastor would leave during Children's Church and not come back? We need a new pastor. And they're like, well, we don't have a way to get a new pastor. So they said, well, we'll make our own pastor. And they went back in my prop room and they brought out this giant Kermit the Frog. I mean, I had like a 5-foot tall stuffed Kermit the Frog. They put him on a chair. They put a puppet on one hand, a Bible they attached to the other. They put one of my ties on him and a hat on him and my magic hat. And they just made unto themselves a new pastor. And then some went a little far and started bowing down to it. And some of the kids got upset. That's terrible. We love Pastor Carl. Others were like, yeah, this is great. And they started cranking music and having a party. And it got crazy in that room. And it was really hard not to go in there. But we said, nope, we want them to experience what happened at the Israelite camp. Because Moses left, and he left longer than they felt he should have been gone. And chaos broke out. And when I finally came back in, about 10 minutes before service was over, you know, all of a sudden there was repentance and they were so sorry. And I had to let them all know, you know, no one's in trouble. I forgive you all, but I was actually watching, you know, and I said, now this is what happened. We were talking about Moses today. When Moses left, God was watching and they experienced both the guilt and everything that those Israelites experienced. And we talked about the comparison between me and Kermit, and could Kermit, you know, really be a pastor? And the silliness of that, and the silliness of making a golden calf, could it really replace God? But we made that lesson real. And the whole point is, what can you do to make what you're teaching or what you're trying to do real? The next one is the letter P, and that's people. How can you involve other people that they won't expect? What kind of guests can you bring in? Could you bring the senior pastor down in? Could you actually include the senior pastor somehow? You know, would there be a way for you to get him to come down, even if you've got a plan for him to come down when he's done preaching and to make an appearance? I used my pastor's voice once time as an announcer in a talk show, and the kids always suspected it was him, and as he just was the voice over the PA. And finally, for the last week, I had him exit the service early and come down and come behind a curtain. And so on that final week, when I pulled the curtain back and he was caught behind the curtain reading into a microphone, they assumed that he had been behind that curtain all those weeks of the unit. And indeed, it was the pastor. But are there ways that you can involve people? Involve older folks to come in and read stories, you know? How about finding another children's pastor in town that you can do a pulpit swap with? They would not expect you to do that. And to bring in someone else that's got some other talents maybe you don't have with puppetry or gospel magic or whatever. I don't know what talents they might have. And then you go bless the other church and do a pulpit swap one week. But how can you involve other people with other professions, firemen, policemen, surgeons, you know, whatever it might be, to come in and give you some relief? And it would be something really new for the kids. The R is rooms. Take a really hard look at your classrooms and say, what can we do different with the rooms? Now, I know you're saying it'd be easier to introduce a fourth person into the Trinity than to change our rooms. We got property committees, you know, we got all these bureaucracy. But, you know, one Sunday you just turn it all around backwards and have the chairs facing the other way. You can do that. Sometimes you can actually change rooms. You know, if you've got classes that are basically the same size and the same number of kids in them, and the fifth grade, sixth grade boys have always been in one room, and the fifth and sixth grade girls have always been in another room, just change it this fall. Just swap it. And just for the sake of change, so it's different. And see if there's some things that you can do that be totally unexpected. Because sometimes we get stuck in this, well, it's always been done this way. Maybe there's a way to change it. Maybe there's another area of ministry that you can go to and say, you know what, could we trade you that room for this room? You know, we've got a nice closet that you might like, and there may be some other benefits. But take a hard look at the rooms. Sometimes just some paint can make a world of difference. Maybe there's some clutter, some cabinets that just are full of junk and they've got stuff over the top of them. Maybe a mural would just change the room. And some of these things can be turned around in a week. We painted a hallway once to look like a street of Jerusalem with bricks up and down the hallway, and we did it in a week. It was a killer week. I don't know when I'd do that again, but we did it. We pulled it off in a week, and it was a wonderful transformation of that hallway. And so just taking a look at your rooms and walking through and saying, what can we do that would be totally unexpected that could make an impact on the ministry? The I is invest in your ministry. What could you do to invest in your ministry or in your volunteers? Nothing makes people feel more valued and valuable and important and appreciated than if you're willing to invest in them. If there's some tools that you could give them, if you go to a children's pastors conference or to some other conference and you see some really cool maps or books or videos or game kit or something, and you bring that back and you say, man, I saw this and I just thought it would be really cool. You know, if you have a teacher who's really into game shows, is always running game shows, and you find, man, there's this software that would make doing game shows easier, and you go to them and say, you know what, you're always doing these game shows and you're doing it the hard way. Would it help you if I bought you this software that you could put on your computer and you'd be able to do it all on computer? They might go, wow, you would invest in me in that way? Looking at the ways that they do things and saying, you know, is there a way I can invest in you or help you? And when you invest in your ministry and you invest in volunteers, it's often unexpected because people think that you want to get as much out of them by putting as little into them as possible, because that's what's normal. What's normal is you give a little and you expect a lot. Well, what if you gave a lot and expected a little in return? In other words, you wanted to give more than you got. That would be unexpected. All right, the S is serve. Boy, that's huge. People don't expect to be served. They expect you to want them to serve them. And to ask yourself, what is a way that I can serve my volunteers. Anytime you can say, you know what, let me do that for you. That's huge. You know what? If it's a really hot day and they're doing Vacation Bible School and it's super hot out there, all you need to do is run out and buy them all slushies and ice cream and come back and show up. Man, we just went out and bought ices for everybody. That's huge, and that serves them, especially if you're the top of the totem pole and they're all working hard and you're saying, man, I just want to serve you all. I just want to go around, give you all an ice cream cone or a milkshake or bring some cold Cokes because they're doing such hard work. When you find ways that you can serve, it makes such a huge difference. And it can also make a huge difference with your volunteers in other ways when you find creative ways to serve them. You know, when I came to one of my ministries, they were having a hard time recruiting. And I asked volunteers, both current and previous, to give me some really honest answers on what were some of the reasons they weren't serving. And one of them was they were just always late to church. And so we decided as a leadership team, what if volunteers could just drop everything and get to church on time? I mean, what if they actually, when they were done teaching, could just grab their purse, grab their Bible, if there's a guy, you know, many guys don't carry purses, and just go to church. And they didn't even have to clean up their room. Because we found that that's what was keeping them late, making them late to church, because parents would come to get the kids and they were busy. And then by the time they got everything put away and the room straightened up, you know, they were missing, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of the worship service. And so we actually created a little brochure called What If. And the What If brochure started out touch and feely. What if you had a group of kids that loved you? What if you're making eternal impact on the world? Blah, 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 blah. And then it got down to some really tangibles. What if when you showed up to the resource room, we had pulled all your flannel graphs and all your resources, everything you need for the craft, we had pulled it for you and it was there waiting for you. And what if at the end of your teaching time, you could drop and go and someone else would come behind you and put everything away for you, return supplies to the resource room, throw all the trash out, straighten up the room, put everything back in your cabinet and lock it up. You didn't have to do that. You're gifted as a teacher. All you have to do is come and teach, shepherd the kids, love on the kids, and we'll take care of the rest. And it was huge because we were showing that we wanted to serve them. And you know what? There were other people who really didn't like kids. And I was able to say, if you don't like kids, we're cool with that. We have a place in the kids ministry for you and you never have to see a kid. Because see, I don't expect everybody to love kids the way I do. And I don't guilt trip them when they don't, because God's gifted everybody different. But I could actually find places for them in ministry where they didn't actually have to work with kids. They could be in a resource room, pulling supplies for a teacher, putting out on a tray and getting it ready for them to come pick up. And they could go into a room after the little rascals had left and clean up and put everything away and make sure the cabinet's locked up and the resources were back in the resource room and it was all ready for the adult class who'd be using that room during the week. And when you serve in that way, that is not expected. That level of customer support, customer service is not expected at church. And it can make a huge difference. The last one is E, and that is equipment. Taking a look at your equipment and saying, what could we do in the area of our equipment that's unexpected? Now, let's start first with the new stuff. What new stuff could we get? Now, not everyone is going to like this because they don't always have a great budget and they don't always have the means to buy new stuff. And so I'm going to get to that in a second. But if you have the capacity to upgrade and to get some new things so that you can be more cutting edge, do it. Take advantage of it. Now, I talk a lot on Kidology about how you don't need those things and not to be discouraged and not to compare yourself to ministries that have all the bells and whistles, because you don't need that stuff. To be effective, you don't need modern technology. You need love and you need relational ministry to change lives. There are inner city churches that have nothing money-wise and technology-wise that are far more effective in leading kids to Christ and discipling kids than churches in the suburbs with all the money in the world. They're just mass moving kids through videos, you know, and not loving and not being relational. That doesn't mean those churches can't do that, but sometimes they mistakenly think they're making disciples because of all their technology, and they're not. But that doesn't mean that we can't or shouldn't avail ourselves of every tool that we can to be more effective. And there are amazing new things out there. You've heard of smart boards. Those could run $2,500, $3,000. Well, there is a new thing out now, and I learned this on the Kidology Forum from a poster. And I don't have the name handy, but it's in a thread that's current right now. If you jump in there and Let's Talk Children's Ministry, it's called the Now Board. It's only $500, and it enables you in the size of a, I mean, it fits in your hand. If you already have a projector and a computer, boy, you just plug this thing into a projector and it turns any surface into a smart board. Any whiteboard or any wall, you can instantly over current applications and PowerPoints or a white wall, you have got a smart board. So one church could just buy one, and teachers could check it out and reserve it. And when one teacher's done, they can hand it off to another teacher. And so you wouldn't need to buy one for every room like you would have to with a smart board, or get a rolling one, and how big and cumbersome is that? Or you could travel with it. And I don't have one yet because I got to just save up for one, because it's an investment. But $500 is a whole lot less than $3,000. And this Now board is amazing. And in the show notes, I have a link to it, as well as a link to a YouTube video where you can see it in action. And it's amazing. But the latest, greatest, newest thing, teaching with an iPad. In fact, I want to mention that Marty, and I'm going to probably butcher his last name, McCutchinson or something. Sorry if I'm not saying your name right, Marty, but he just emailed me at Carl at Kidman Talk and gave me his app that he liked. So he won a free app from last week's podcast. But he was talking about how he takes the Talking Ben app, which my son loves, by the way, where you just talk and this dog, lazy dog in an easy chair, talks back to you. But it has a recording feature. And so he will keep saying phrases to the dog and gets the dog to record it. Then he takes these recordings and puts them together and has Talking Ben tell a Bible story. And I think that's awesome. So he's taking his iPad and this iPad app called Talking Ben, which I'll link in the show notes as well, and has it tell a Bible story. How amazing is that? But old technology is okay. In fact, I think very old technology is awesome. In fact, I like to say old is the new. Because kids are not impressed by technology. They live in a world of technology. You know, most kids have an iPod Touch nowadays. Some have iPhones. So when you're trying to impress them with your latest, greatest gadget, they're not impressed anymore. That's their world. That's normal to them. I mean, my son has been using a garage door opener since he was 1 year old. I still think that's amazing. He doesn't. But what might impress them is something they've never seen. Things that we think are outdated, like an overhead projector. They might think that's really cool. They put their hand over it and it makes a shadow up on the wall. You get out transparencies and you draw Bible stories with erasable markers and you tell it with transparencies. Kids will think that's awesome. Even better, find an old slide strip projector and draw some Bible stories on some old film strips and run that through a projector. And even the way it makes a loud noise when it's going, they'll think that's amazing. And even flannel graph, things that kids have never seen that isn't a video, kids will think are amazing. In fact, one time I took just a giant framed piece of glass, put it on a stand. I would stand behind it and draw a picture on the glass so I could see the kids through the drawing. It was like drawing on a easel and pad, but I was drawing on glass so I could look through and illustrate David and Goliath or Jesus walking in the water, whatever the Bible story was, on the glass with a marker that would write on glass. And then and the kids loved it. I could see the kids. I was drawing, and they thought it was amazing. They thought that was high tech, and it was really cool. So think about your equipment. Go to Walmart and just look around and see what kind of cool, gadgety, technical thing can I use. And it can be high tech, like this Now board. It can be low tech, something the kids have never seen. I have used a toaster to teach a lesson on the second coming of Christ by having the kids try to guess when it's going to come up. So the key is try to think of what you can do that is unexpected. And if you do that, it will breathe fresh life into your ministry. If you will post some things that you have done that were unexpected and that created some awesome memories in the show notes, I'm going to mail you a full CD of Creative Ministry Solutions Righteous Pop Music for you to enjoy. Because you don't want the kids bored. If your kids are falling asleep during the lessons where they're saying, "Wake me up when the sermon ends," then you're in trouble. As is illustrated in this song from Creative Ministry Solutions.
Sunday has come at last. The sermon never goes too fast. Wake me up when the sermon ends. Another week has come and passed. By Sunday I am out of gas. sermon ends. Here comes that moment when my head starts tilting down. I look like a bobblehead to everyone around. As time goes creeping by, I start drooling on my tie. Wake me up when the sermon ends.
Well, I don't know if there's a lot we can do about boring sermons, but if our ministry's getting boring, and if our teaching and our meetings are getting boring, then it's time for us to plan some surprises. And it might be thinking, what can we do that's unforgettable? What can we do that's real? What people can we include? What can we do to our rooms? How can we invest in our volunteers or our ministry? What ways can we serve them that would totally shock them? Or what can we do about the equipment that we have? I'm sure if you put some intentional thought into it, the Holy Spirit is going to give you some creative ideas. And if you will post what some of those ideas are in the forum, we will reward you, because we want to not only equip and encourage you, but we want there to be a tangible benefit to your team. So we will send you a prize in the mail for some of the best ideas that we hear there. So thanks again for joining me here on Kidman Talk. I cannot wait to hear back from you, either in the forum. Remember, it's linked at the bottom of the show notes. Now, you can leave a comment there in with discuss comments, but it's really the forum where we can have an interactive conversation. Of course, you can always tweet at Kidman Talk or by email, Carl with a K, at KidmanTalk.com. And I love to hear from you, and I can't wait to hear your suggestions for the letter V, which will be next week's podcast. Boy, what a challenging letter as we reach the end of the alphabet. After that will be W, and then I'll be wrapping it all up with X, Y, and Z. So what is your one suggestion for the Kidman keyword that begins with the letter V? Let's have a great discussion in the forum. Well, until next time, this is Carl wrapping up yet another Kidman Talk.